Amen. What a song service. I tell you what, I was enjoying it. I hope you were. Amen. Dry bones. Isn't that what we've been talking about? Restoration. Can I tell you something, sister, brother? I had a message ready Friday night. I was going to bring the next one in this series, and I was going to use that scripture and kind of talk about dry bones this morning. And then yesterday, God came and said, no, we're not quite there yet. We need to go back and revisit Thursday night because we got to finish what Thursday night was about. We didn't get enough in depth, so we're going to pick up from Thursday night and see if we can finish that today. I want you to know something. See my hand, my wrist? I came out of there. He said, go put your watch up. I'm not going to be worrying about the time. If you get tired and have to leave, God bless you. I'm gonna try to stay calm and quiet today and just talk. I wish I could take some of you and just sit down and talk one-to-one with you on this subject. Because it is so on my heart. I know it's been so on Brother Jerry's heart. You got to get right now. This is no time. How many times has Brother Jerry said it? He's been preaching up in Ohio. This is no time to be quitting. You are so close to the end. And today, it's going to be good for everybody. But the focus is today, God has given me a message to speak this morning. He's focusing on you folks in here who are not born again. This is specifically for you. Why? Because there's not enough time? No, because there is enough time. And he cares. And he's saying, please, please listen to what I'm telling you and get right. Amen. Lord Jesus, we come now to do your will. We come to hear your word. We come to hear what you are saying. I pray everyone in here, Lord, will be in a prayerful state of mind. Everyone will be focused. Not let Satan take our thoughts anywhere. But Lord Jesus, that souls could be saved. This is not just coming up here just to preach a message, but this is to see the evidence, to see the Holy Spirit in power and demonstration, to see the word happening. Lord, I just give it completely to you. Have your way. Amen. If you want to turn in your Bible, I'm going to read just that one verse there in Joel, the second chapter, verse 25. We'll read that and then be seated. Joel 2:25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, and my great army which I send among you. You may be seated. And I want to just focus on that first phrase like it did Thursday night. And I will restore to you. This is God's word to you. He said, I am going to do this. This is a non-condition. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to use the former rain and latter rain to do it. And I'm going to get it done. Now, Brother Branham, let me read some quotes from Thursday night. He's talking about this. He said, if Satan has robbed you of the privilege of being a son or daughter of God, we have a right this morning by the Holy Spirit to enforce the claim of God. Bring them back. And if you're talking about your soul this morning that's not been rebirthed, then you have the right to go and say, give it back. If he's afflicted you and made you sick, we have a right before God to enforce the laws of God. By his stripes we are healed. The law of God is the word of God. So you say, by his stripes I'm healed. That's the law of God. All it takes is you to believe it, and it puts that in action. Amen. You force Satan to give back your health. Bring him back. Turn him loose. What do you have need of? Bring him back. Turn him loose. You're taking him out yonder to death. We claim him. Bring him back. There's people that right now Satan is taking people in your family, people in friends, and they've taken them out to death. They're ready to quit. They're ready to go away. They're ready to stop. And you say, no, you're not going to do that. Bring them back. He said, now we have a right to enforce that law. And the lawgiver, the Holy Spirit himself, is here, the agent of God, to see that it's done that way. Don't you want to do that? Now let's find out how. How do you force them back? How do you go out there and say, give that person back? I claim that person. I claim my healing. How do you do it? He said like this. He said, the only way he, God, can work is when you let him work. You've got to believe it. That's how you force Satan to give it back. That's how you bring God. That's how God can work, is when you believe it. You have to allow him. Get out of the way and let him do it. We have a law, the law of life. He said, you're made and born and placed here in the body of Christ as sons and daughters of God. You don't have to knock down to the devil. Well, I just can't overcome this. Well, I can't quit doing this. Well, I just can't struggle with this. I can't do that. Okay, that's your confession. You're knocking down to the devil. You don't have to if you don't want to. He cannot control you if you don't allow him to. You have the right to say, I am not going to be subject to that anymore. How do you do that? You get out of the way and allow God to work. You have to believe it. We've got a law. That's the law of the Holy Spirit. The only thing you have to do is know how to let go and let God. That's the only thing. I was going to be quiet. Brother and sister. The only thing. Oh, please. You say you believe the prophet? Believe what he's saying here. The only thing you have to do is know how to let go and let God do what he promised to do. You keep fighting at it and it won't never work. You keep trying on your own, it won't ever work. Please believe me. Believe what he's saying. Don't believe me. Believe him. This is the prophet. He's speaking the word of the Lord to you this morning. Please believe it. You keep fighting at it, it won't ever work. When you let go and let God, that's all. He said, if we fight and pull and hurry and, oh, if I don't get this, if I don't get that, that's not it. But brother, sister, brother Phil, you just said we don't have much time. We don't have much time. Well, I got to hurry and get it. How are you going to do that? How are you going to hurry and get it? I got to get it. Let me tell you why. On Sunday I said, that door to mercy is that close. It's that close being shut finally. And for a lot of people, it's already been shut. They've already passed. They've crossed the line by the billions. But if you are God's elect, that door is a mile wide. If you are God's elect, that door is as wide as it has to be until you get in. I believe I got a message coming up. You make a choice, and sometimes God doesn't accept your choice. What David was talking about. How many of you have chosen to walk out and just give up? And he says, no, that ain't my choice. No, I got something else for you. Now you're going to come the harder way, but you're coming. That door is as wide as it needs to be. Don't you sit there and say, well, maybe it's too late for me. If you're sitting in here this morning, it's not too late for you. It's not too late for you. You just got to change the way you're thinking. He said, it's to know that the law of life is in you and you just let go and let God. Now listen to this. Please listen. Goodness sakes. Then he takes you to your healing. He takes you to the baptism of the Spirit. and anything he's promised. Any claim he's given is yours by letting go and let God. Please listen. He takes you to it. It's a walk. It's a not an event so much as you start believing and you walk and he just draws you to it. Just keep walking. Because Satan will give you every reason to quit. He'll give you every reason to stop and walk off this way or go that way. And the word, the spirit, the law of God is walk by faith and it will come to you. But you got to let go and let God do it. All right. We caught up from Thursday night. Now let's go on. I'm going to give you, if you want to turn to Matthew 11, you can do that. I'm going to read from there three verses. Matthew 11, 28. And we are going to look at what real Christianity, the attributes or the characteristics of real Christianity, true Christianity, what it means to be a Christian. Matthew 11, 28. Jesus is speaking. Now this is Jesus himself, right? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That word labor means to toil, to be weary, grow weary, tired, exhausted with toil or burdens or grief, to labor with worrisome effort. If that's what you are doing, he said, come to me. That heavy laden means to place a burden on, to load them with a burden of religious rites and unwarranted precepts. If your religion is about labor and heavy laden and burden, brother and sister, come to him. He gives you rest. Then he says this, take my yoke. That's my burden upon you. And learn of me. What does that mean? To understand, to be informed, to listen, to understand who he is. Learn of me. Find out who Jesus Christ really is. Because the average message believer doesn't know who he is. They don't. How do you know? Because their actions speak louder than their words. They're very religious, but their religion is a burden. A heavy burden. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. That's twice he said, I will give you rest. Rest. You're weary. You're trying. You're doing all this to be a Christian. He said, I will give you rest from that burden. But you got to let go and let me. Oh. That rest is refreshing to cause or permit one to cease from movement or labor in order to recover and collect their strength, to refresh, to give oneself rest, to keep quiet, calm, and patient expectation. Is your religion one of calm and patient expectation? If it's not, you have the wrong religion. Then he says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That is true Christianity. You're resting because he has given you rest and his yoke is easy. His burden is light. That easy, that means, my yoke is easy, it means to kind, to be good, to be gracious. It's manageable. It's mild. It's pleasant. That's God's yoke. How many people this morning are walking in that? If not, you have a false religion. Is your religion a burden? Is your religion a burden? I'm talking specifically to those of you who are not born again. Is your attempts to be born again a burden? You come to church beat down. I see it over and over. Brothers, I see, and you come and you can see it in your face, you can see it in your eye, and you can see that spiritually you're just so wore out. And the word comes during the service, and I see you start believing again, and it picks you up and it strengthens you again, and you walk out of here and you say, yes, Brother Phil, I'm a believer. And by Monday, you're already weary again. You're already beat down again. Why? Because you're going back to your own religion, your own attempts to be born again, your own attempts to be a Christian. You are not taking his burden. You're taking the burden of your own false religion. Please listen to me. Is your burden, is your religion a joy or a sorrow? When you go about your life, if that, I'm living my life, oh my God, I go to church tonight, oh my. I don't know if I can get there. Well, it's Sunday morning, I guess I better get up and go to church because I know I need to. That's a burden. That's your own false religion. You're trying to convince God to save you as if he doesn't want to. You're trying to talk God into saving you. You're trying to do something to convince God, to get God to save you. God, just save me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. God wants to save you a billion times more than you want to be saved. You don't have to convince him to want to save you. And you don't need to help him to save you. Let me tell you something. I'm gonna quote from a different scripture right now that you might not have heard before. This is from the first book of Satan, chapter 1, verse 1. And this is where some of you have gotten your attempts to be born again. Satan, chapter 1, verse 1, he says this. Verse 1 says, if I try hard enough, God will give me the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have it, it's because you haven't tried hard enough. That's straight out of Satan's gospel. Verse 2, if I live good enough, God will give me the Holy Ghost. That's right out of Satan's gospel. And yet, how many have over the years, how many message believers today, how many young people's meetings, that's exactly what's being preached to them. And how many of you that was preached when you're a little kid and you're still bearing that burden? If it didn't work before, it's not going to work now. If you've been doing this all your life and you're not born again, guess who is wrong? Your religion is wrong. You are adding something to God's word. He said, let go and let me save you. And you said, okay, I'll try harder. Okay, I'll get my, if I can just get holier. I'm going to ask you to do something really radical this morning. Crazy radical. Stop. Whatever you're doing, stop. It ain't working. It hasn't worked in the past. It's not going to work now. It's not going to work in the future because God's not going to change his way to meet your ideas. What you have done, brother and sister, is you have taken the word and you hybrid it with some lie that some preacher preached to you when you were 5 years old. And you're still burdened by that lying religion. And you're asking God to come and and give you the Holy Ghost, and you're bringing this false hybrid seed. You're a fornicator. You're a religious fornicator. He will not marry a fornicator. You got to give up your own ideas. You got to drop your own burdensome religion. Verse 3 in Satan's book. If I'm sincere enough, if I pray enough, if I go to church enough, if I listen to enough messages, if I... That's also straight from Satan's gospel. You can't do enough to earn it. You can't earn the Holy Spirit. Why do you keep trying? I know exactly what I'm talking about. I worshipped under this religion for years. And when I see it on people, there's nothing that fires me up personally more than this. What verse are we at? Verse 4, verse 5, I don't care. But the next one. If I feel bad enough, God will feel sorry for me and give me the Holy Ghost. If I come to church, it's all beat down and say, God, look how bad I am. Look how horrible I'm doing. Oh, God, I'm just feeling so bad. I'm so weak. Oh, God, just do something for me. He said, I ain't going to touch you. You can feel sorry for yourself all week long. I ain't got nothing to do with that. That ain't faith. God doesn't come and pet you because you're feeling bad. He kicks you. It's true. I'm not talking about, look, brothers, we all go through, have burns. We all go through trials. We all go through some horrible stuff. I don't have to tell you that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your attitude. Brother James Browning passed away. His wife has been going through some hard times. But you know what she has in the midst of it? Peace. Joy. Why? Because by faith she knows that she's going to where he is. Now how do you get sad about that? Sure, in this world, in this old flesh, sure, you miss him and it's hard. And that's going to be. But walk in faith, say, praise God. Just a little while. Recognize this burdensome religion you're carrying. Recognize all this stuff that's been added. Let me tell you why. Jerry Bell was the best I've ever seen at preaching this into people. And I sat under his ministry for 10 years getting this jammed into me worse than what my dad did. My dad was great at it too. I was raised on this kind of stuff. And Jerry Bell, he just preached this heart and soul because this is what he lived. He could preach and he could live it. To all his ability. Let me talk about your ability. How many times I've heard people saying, I'm so weak. I'm such a weak Christian. I'm so weak. Let me tell you something. You are as weak as you choose to be. It is your choice if you are a weak Christian this morning. You are deciding not to walk in faith. You are deciding to be a weak Christian, so you have an excuse to keep doing the things of the world that you want to do. And you think I'm going to feel sorry for you, or I'm going to pray for you. Pray for me, I'm so weak. That's your choice. You go deal with that your own self. You want to come and talk to me about faith? I'll pray for you. You're going to sit there with an attitude and say, well, you don't understand what I'm going through. I don't care what you're going through. I'm telling you the truth. It's your religion that is destroying you. It's your religion that is keeping you from being born again. Why don't you take responsibility and say, this is me. You're right. It is me. It is my choice. This is what's going on in my life. Why don't you do that and repent for your false religion? Repent for your idolatry. And God can start doing something with you. It's not talking about a burden of sin. I'm talking about a burden of your fake religion. Your false religion you've been preached to, you've been taking it, and you've been trying and trying for years to be born again. It's because you're going about it wrong. It's unnecessary misery we live in. It's unnecessary. You don't have to live in misery. It's about letting God take care of it. Let him do it. You say, well, Brother Phil, you got to live holy. Let me tell you, Brother Branham gives a story. I haven't read it for a while, but if I can get it close as I can. He said, he talked to a man. He said, Brother, if you will give up those cigarettes, God will give you the Holy Ghost. Well, there you go, Brother Phil. You do have to live holy enough then, don't you? You think that guy didn't try to give up cigarettes before that? He couldn't give them up, could he? He couldn't live good enough, could he? But now if you can start living good enough, I'll give you the Holy Ghost. You think that's what God was saying? No, he wasn't. What did that guy do? That brother said, God, I am sick of this, but I can't quit on my own. But you promised me. Yes. You know what God did? God took the cigarettes. And then he said, I've given up the cigarettes now. You promised me if I gave them up, you'll give me the Holy Ghost. God gave him the Holy Ghost. Do you see what happened? It was God doing it all. It was God doing every step of it. Quit trying to help God save you. That's a false religion. You say, well, Brother Phil, how do I give up? How do I let go? The very question illustrates your problem. What do I have to do to let go? Let me show you how it works. Here, let go. Boom. That's what you have to do. People struggle letting go. They try to let go. Quit trying. It isn't a try. Brother Phil, this is just too simple. And that's the problem. Because human nature doesn't want it to be simple. Because human nature wants to be able to say, look what I did. Look what I did. Look what I've done. I've become, see, I did this, so now God gave it to me because I did this. Because you don't believe in grace. That's horrible to say, but it's true. You do not believe in grace. Grace isn't sufficient. God says, my grace is sufficient. You say, not for me. I did it all on Calvary. It wasn't enough. You know, if you go to judgment right now, that's what your testimony is. Your testimony is, Calvary wasn't sufficient for me. Do you want to stand there on that day? Do you recognize that what you're doing right now is you're crucifying him afresh? In Hebrews, it says you do despite unto the spirit of grace. What does that mean? It's an insulting. You're disrespecting it. God comes and says, my grace is sufficient. You say, well, thanks, but not for me. It's not. I need to do something to earn it. Grace is unmerited favor. He gives you what you don't deserve. You don't deserve the Holy Spirit, but he says, I'm going to give it to you anyways. I'm going to give it to you because I love you. And then Satan takes you and puts you in the mirror and say, look at you. Look how nasty you are. You think God could love someone like you? Well, of course not. You need to get holy. You need to live better so God can love you. Let me read something. I read this Thursday night. Regardless of how little we are, how low we are, how impure we are, how unholy we are, how sick we are, how afflicted we are, the law of God's Spirit by his word makes it obey him, forces the issue. He says, give it back. No matter what the condition is, the law of God forces a condition to cope with his word. It's got to. It doesn't matter what condition you are in right now. God loves you as much as he ever can love anybody else. He loves you. And because of his love, he says, I know you can't live good enough. You can't earn it. But by grace are you saved through faith. It's not your works. Lay your nasty, filthy works down. Let go. Well, what do I do? There you go again. Ain't that what's coming? Well, what do I do? Brother Phil, what do I do? Go to sleep. Go home and take a nap. It's the best thing you can do. Spit in the eye of that demon who's telling you, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What if? What if? What if? Go watch a movie. I did that. I told you. Back when God was dealing with me several years ago on this, because I was such a worker, such a legalist. I went home and Satan was on. You better start praying. Satan. Yeah, Satan. You better pray. You better pray through. I got out a movie and put it on. I watched a movie. So you're not going to control me anymore, you nasty legalist. Religious devil. God was pleased because my prayers were all about praying enough, praying sincere enough, getting to that place. I got to pray through to that place. He said, I will save you if you take your filthy hands off of my salvation. Everybody's weak. We're all weak in other things, different things. You say, Brother Phil, are you weak? I am very weak in a lot of different areas in my life. Well, you get up there, you don't act like you're weak. You don't have to act like you feel. You don't have to act like you're weak. You can act like you're strong by walking in faith. You don't have to confess you're weak. Confess what the word says is, I am strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why would you confess anything else? You're not saved based on your strength. Your strength, your human strength gets in your way. And you think somehow because I'm strong in this area, God looks at me and says, yeah, I'm going to save him. I was raised to work. As a little kid, we worked. We had chores. We did all kinds of stuff. And as I grew up, I had to have a job. I mean, me without a job, it would just kill me. I said, man, I gotta have a job. I like working. Certain things. And I can look at someone else and say, look at that. They don't even work. What a scumbag. What is wrong with that person? They don't even have a job. They keep losing. They keep not work. What is wrong with them? Because in working, I have a strength. Maybe in that person, they were raised different, whatever. That's not a strength. And so I can look down on them and see, I'm better than they are. I'm holier than they are. Oh, it's so easy to do. We all do it to an extent. Oh, I don't. Okay, well, your problem is your pride. But that same person who doesn't have a job, they're sitting over there on the sidewalk. They say, Brother Phil, why are you so sensitive for? Goodness sakes, you're so concerned about what people think about you. Get over yourself. Well, mind your own business. See, we all have weaknesses. So let's quit looking at how weak or strong we are, and let's look at what the Bible says about it. What does the word say about you? It ain't about your human weaknesses and strength anyways. It has nothing to do with it. God's going to save you by grace. Amen. You want to look at someone who has physical ability? I've never seen someone with the physical ability as far as being able to control themselves as Jerry Bell. For 20 years, he lived an amazing life. And then he fell apart. Because your human ability will run out. It's a burden. And if you say, I'm feeling weak, it's because it's weak from carrying your burden. That what's making you weak is you are still carrying your own burden of trying to be a Christian. That's what weakens you, brother and sister. When you feel, now look, you go through battles, you get physically tired, it weakens you mentally. You go through battles, it weakens you, and you fall into trash because of this. That's all part of being a Christian. But I'm talking about when your faith gets weak, because listen to me. Trials make a Christian stronger. Maybe not in the moment, but the end result is you will become stronger. You do not go through that and get weaker. So if you're going through trials and getting weaker and getting harder to get to church, then you are still dragging around your own burdensome religion. And it's weakening you. And you're trying in your own ability to live good enough, and this burdensome religion is killing you. Oh, please, God help me. Listen to what I'm saying. Repent. Well, I'm going to try. Don't try. It's simple. Lord, I'm sorry for being such a reproach all these years, for doing despite to the Spirit of grace. God, I'm so sorry. All I've tried to serve you, and I failed miserably. That's where you go, folks. There's one step after that. But you promised me. And to go home and take a nap. And come to church Thursday. But you promise me. And stop. Anything else is your false, man-made, adulterous religion. He's the same God tomorrow as he is today. Isn't that what you're just saying? God on the mountain is the God in the valley. Oh my. That's enough to make a sinner shout. He's just as real. What he's saying today is going to be just as real tomorrow. And Wednesday. And Tuesday. Whatever the days are. And Thursday. He's just as strong, it's just as true tomorrow. You're sitting in an atmosphere here where it's much easier to believe. And here's what's going on. Some of you right now, I can see it all over you. You are so trying to believe what I'm telling you. And that devil is giving you, but what if? But what if? You tried before. You've done this before. You look how disappointed you've been. He didn't save you before. Why do you think it's you? How can you be? What's he saying to you? I bet some of you could stand up right now and tell me that's exactly. This is what he's telling me. This is what he's throwing at me right now. And that Holy Spirit in you is saying, believe it. It's just Brother Phil, but that's not just Brother Phil. That's the Holy Spirit calling to you. You know he's illustrating your life. It's right there in front of you. Phil don't know that. No. It's right there in front of you. This is exactly what's going on. You know he's talking to you. Sure. Who's talking to you? It's not that simple. Yes, it is. Then why do we get weak during the week? We get weak during the week when between services. Why? Because your burden of you trying to be a Christian is killing you. Stop. Just stop. Brother Phil, if I stop, I'll be out in the world gone. Then go out in the world and be gone. Because, okay, I'm gonna make a statement here that a lot of people don't believe. Message believers don't believe this. A lot of people don't believe this. I know it's message. And some of you don't really believe this. Either God saves you or you go to hell. That's as profound a statement as I've ever made. And so few people actually believe that. Because if they did believe it, then they quit trying to save themselves. Here's another verse in Satan's book. If you understand all the doctrines, you believe everything the prophet said, if you know all the quotes, if you can tell about the seven seals, if you have this all figured out, then God's going to give you the Holy Ghost. Boy, that's taking a lot of people to hell right there, too. Just love the prophet. That's all it takes. You say, Brother Phil, I just wanted to be saved. Oh, God already saved you. You realize that, right? I'm being sarcastic a little bit. God already saved you. Didn't Brother Branham say that? He said, if you went up to Jesus, say, Jesus, save me. He said, I already have. He said, all you had to do was accept what I'd done for you. That's what faith is. You believe what he says. You're already pardoned. I got so many sins. I got so many that you're already pardoned, but you have to accept the pardoning. But tomorrow I'm going to make more mistakes. So are the rest of us. Join the human race. He said, well, I believe I said, but I need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has already been given. Oh, my. Here's the thing. If it's already been given, how come I don't have it? Because, see, he gives it on conditions. Yeah, if I live holy enough, if I try hard enough, there you go with your false religion again. See, here's the reality. The law of God is if you will meet the same conditions that someone else met and received the Holy Ghost, then he is obligated to give you the Holy Ghost too when you meet the same conditions. What are those conditions? You have to come God's provided way. That's something else people don't believe. They believe God's going to change his way to meet my conditions. If I live holy enough, if I'm sincere enough, if I believe enough, if I do all these things enough, God's going to give me the Holy Ghost, and that's not his provided way. What are those conditions? Be honest with yourself right now. Go into your mind and identify those conditions. The things that you've been trying to do to try to be born again. This goes for everything, brothers and sisters. This goes for healing, deliverance, whatever. So like I said, this is for everyone, not just the ones who are not born again, but this is for everyone. So what I'm preaching, brothers and sisters, you need to go ahead and live this in your life, because a lot of us who are born again are still dragging around a lot of burdens and stuff because we can't get over this and we can't get over that, or we don't believe this, we don't believe that. That's why the preaching comes for everybody, to get rid of all this, shed all this junk religion we have and go on with God. That's what restoration is about. It's for everybody. But for those of you who want to be born again, what conditions do you have to make? In your mind, what are the conditions? What do you have to do before God gives you the Holy Ghost? What does it take? What's the next step? Peter gave the formula on the day of Pentecost. Repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Any other conditions you put on there are lies. Really? And you're dragging around your own religion? You say you repented? No, you haven't. You're walking around saying, I'm weak. I just struggle. I can't hardly get to church. You haven't repented.
You're still dragging your own religion with you. Let it go. And let God. See, if you repent and be baptized, and you're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come, you're walking in faith. By faith are you saved. You believe the word, what Peter said. You believe what Brother Branham said. You believe this word, and you walk in faith alone. Let everything else go. You have to accept it. Some people have taken this kind of preaching and said, well, if I'm elect, God will save me. And they go out, I'm just going to go out and live any way I want to, do what I want. And if I'm elect, God will save me. Well, in one way, they are right. Because like David just gave a testimony, he said, whatever. 4 years later, God saved him. You know why? Because he was elect. You know why? But you know what David went through? He went through his own tribulation period. He called it Vietnam. You don't have to do that. You don't have to go through that. And yet, how many people in here are going through that right now because you're trying to be saved according to your own idea? You don't have to bear that misery. You don't have to carry that burden. Folks, I'm not lying to you. I'm telling you the truth. I watched this week. I watched that movie, The Ten Commandments, again. I haven't seen it for several years, and it's just on my heart to watch it. And it continues to amaze me. It's such a great illustration. God comes. He gives him a promise. He says, "I'm going to deliver you." And for years and years, looking for a deliverer, Moses shows up. He's delivered. Things don't go right. They're ready to stone Moses. God shows great powers and signs. Oh, look! God's among us. Moses is the deliverer. Look at what's going on. He gets them out of Egypt. They get in the wilderness. What happens? Things don't go right. We're going to stone Moses. We're hungry, Moses. You bring us out here to die? God brings them. Oh, praise God. Wonderful. This is wonderful. They get to the Red Sea. Oh, my goodness. The Pharaoh's coming. He's going to kill us. Why did you bring us out here to die? He opens up the water. They go through. They have a wonderful Pentecostal revival on the other side. Next thing you know, they don't have enough water. What'd you do? Bring us out here to die? And you look at those people and you say, what was wrong with you? Well, here's the reality. Human nature hasn't changed one iota. I want you to look at the last 15 years of this church. Look what God has done among us. If nothing else, look at David. You have to admit that he's changed. Whether you like him or not, he's changed. Amen. What is wrong with us? The promise was, I am going to take you to the promised land. That was the whole purpose, get you back to the land where I brought you from. It's a restoration. And as soon as the symptoms pop up, whining and crying. Well, I don't know if I can make it, Brother Phil. He promised you the promised land. Amen. It's a promise to you. Why would you sit there and whine and complain and disbelieve? It was their unbelief that killed them in the wilderness. After all God had done, all the signs and wonders he showed, and then they get out there and say, well, I don't know if I can get it. I don't know if I'm elect. I don't know if the Holy Ghost is for me or not, Brother Phil. Can I be really blunt? You deserve to go to hell for that thought. Satan gives you the thought. If you take that and make it yours, that deserves hell.
But the rest of us deserve hell too. It ain't about what you deserve. His grace is sufficient. He said, will you accept my grace? I will give you eternal life if you will just accept it. But I've been trying for years. So you've been wrong for years. So humble yourself and repent and get it right. It's not that big of a deal if you would just change your thoughts. Doing despite to the spirit of grace is a horrible sin. You trying in your own ability to be saved is a horrible sin. You're worried about drinking or smoking or adultery and all that. Nothing that all pales. Nothing compares to you trying to save yourself. Nothing compares. On judgment day, he's not going to say, well, look at that. You are pissed, or you are committing adultery, or you are drinking. He's going to say, you did despite unto the spirit of grace. You refused my grace. That's why you are doing those other things. You're trying to find comfort, because you have to comfort this thing. And if you don't find comfort in the grace of God, you will find it in the world. That's the sin. And we think, well, I'm doing the best I can. Surely God will accept that. He looks at that as a horrible sin. Horrible. But we try to get comfort from it. I'm doing the best I can. Think God's going to change his mind? Let me make a little demonstration of what I'm talking about. I think I'm going to wind it up here pretty soon. I'm on one side of the chasm. Over there is the Holy Ghost. That's new birth right there. I need to get onto that pew. Once I'm standing on that pew, I've been sealed away. And so, between me and there, there's a chasm a mile deep, straight down. Now, I come to realize that everything on this side of the chasm goes to hell. I need to get over there. And so I start believing, and I'm young or whatever, and I say, well, go ahead and get over there. And I go out like this. I almost died. Well, let me try that again. You know what's wrong? I'm afraid. I'm anchored right here to my religion. I'm trying to cross over this chasm. And I'm anchored myself because I've been taught fear. No. You know where I was taught fear? Sitting in a pew by a lying preacher. No. Maybe I was taught fear by parents who didn't know better. They were deceived or whatever. But I learned fear. I learned it's scary to trust God. Because I tried and I failed. Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! Oh! So you know what we start doing? I can do this. I'm going to build a bridge. So we start taking our holiness and building a bridge with our holiness. And we step out of it. On, hey, listen, this bridge, hey, this is holy. Yes, sir. Storm of light comes along and blows that bridge away, and you crumble and fall. And when you fall, you always end up back on this side, folks. You always end up on this side. So what we do is we learn how to go to church and yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Let's see if I can do it without hurting myself. And we're like this. And we taste and we see the Holy Ghost is good.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness, this is amazing. Oh, I want this. I want this. How long can I stay this way?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, I'm getting weak. Brother Phil, I'm so weak. I just feel like I'm going to fall away. Yeah, you are. Because this is my strength. Now, Brother Will, he might be able to do that for a couple hours. I don't know. He's strong. He's young. I don't care how young and strong you are. You will not last. Jerry Bell did that for 20 years. Fence, right? 20 years Jerry Bell did that. He kept grounded in his own religion and he tried to get that. He's very anointed. He got that anointing and he could taste the wonderful services we had. Didn't we, Brother Paul? And he was straddling the whole time because he could not step out and do that. Why? Because you walk over there. You walk in faith from here to there. You have to walk and there's nothing there to hold you up. If you try to walk without faith, you will crumble. So what preachers do is they tell you, just do that bridge thing. The vast majority of the message believers are doing the bridge thing. And they have a lukewarm religion. Oh, they get anointed. They taste the Holy Spirit. They see it's good. It's a wonderful thing. But you get anchored right back over here. Sometimes you might do like this. Oh, yeah. Woo-hoo! Watch me dance. Watch me preach. Let me... Woo-hoo-hoo! And then when you get weak, you come back over here. Because you cannot maintain it. Because you're using your own ability. Brother Phil, are you telling me I'm going to step out and walk across on air? Peter walked on water. He started walking. What did Peter? He started walking on water. The waves were big. He was looking at Jesus. And a big wave came up. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. He started sinking. Why? Because he quit looking at Jesus. He started looking at the symptoms. And that's what happened. How many times, brother, sister, have you started walking over and all of a sudden you look down and you realize, you jump back over. Oh yeah, it happens week after week. You come to church and the word comes and it drives all that doubt away. I've seen it. And you walk out of here, and you've got a freedom of in your spirit, and you say, praise God, I'm a believer. I'm going to walk in faith. And Tuesday, you look down and go, ah! And you come flying back to your own religion. That's why you're not born again. Can I tell you how to get over there? You take the promise. Take one promise that God gave you. And you hold on to that promise as if your life depended on it. Because it does. And there's no devil in hell is going to rip that out of your hands. And you focus on the promise. And you start walking. Satan says, look down, look down. And you focus on the problem. You look, look, there's a wind blowing. There's come. You ain't, and you just focus on the problem. You ain't going to make it. And sometimes you start going down. Oh, my goodness. And there you hit your knees. And all of a sudden you're back up. Yeah. And you realize,
amen.
I'm walking. I'm walking, y'all. I'm walking.
Demons flying around you. There's all kinds of people trying to drag you down. They say, you better get back here. You better get back here. You better not go that way. You're going to fall. You're going to be one of those freaks down in that Dixie chair. You better quit doing that.
Yeah, you focus on the promise. You promise me.
Amen.
You hear a voice say, come up higher. And the hand reaches down and all of a sudden, took him so long? What took me so long? It was so simple. And he turned to me and said, folks, it's simple. It's simple, folks. Please. Believe what I'm telling you. It is that simple. Take the promise of God and focus on that and just walk. Focus on that promise, and all of a sudden that promise is fulfilled. He gives you another one. And he gives you another one. And pretty soon, like I said before, you don't even recognize who you are anymore. You are so different than the person you were that you don't even know who you are anymore, except you know you're a child of God.
Amen.
I compare myself to my spiritual run to where I was 5 years ago. I say, who was that guy? That's a good thing. And all you want to do is turn back and say, folks, it's simple. Come on. Come on. Come on. You can have it. Just let go. And let God. Let go. And let God.
How long is it going to take? It might take you 5 minutes. It might take you 5 years. Who cares? And while you're walking, if you have been bound by this legalistic, I'm going to try all my best kind of spirit, which most of us have been. So while you're walking to get there, you're going to stumble and fall. And you're going to start sinking. And it's a test to see, will you focus on the promise or will you turn and lunge back for your religion? He did that with me, and it blew my mind. I'm like, God, why are you letting this happen? He said, I want to see what you're going to do. You said you believe me. You said you believe I would deliver you from that. You said you believe I would save you. You said you believe I'd give you the new birth. Do you really? Then let me do it.
Amen.
But what if you don't?
Well, then you don't believe me.
That's right.
Yeah. That's not the conditions. Because, see, when we don't really believe, we're not sure we're doing this. But when you really believe what he told you, then you're walking out here in the air. What a free place to be. What a freedom. That you got to give up your own junk. You believe that, Brother Paul?
Amen.
I do too. You know why I believe it? I've experienced it.
I'm speaking from experience, brother and sister. That word, that promise, you take that promise, you can't stand here taking that promise. You stand here, well, I believe I'm focusing on that. No, if you're focusing on that, that promise doesn't stay still. That promise is always moving forward. It's taking you to restoration, and you're going to find it start drawing you. Oh, I'm not sure I want to do this. I'm not sure.
Yes, I do. It'll suck you right off of that old way. It'll draw you right out there. You learn how to walk in faith. Pretty soon you're dancing in faith. Pretty soon you have a body changed by faith.
Probably.
So you will. It's working, folks.
That didn't take too long, did it? The only thing I want to add to that is a warning. As simple as God just made it this morning, you really have no excuse. There ain't a person in here who has an excuse not to be born again. God loves you so much. He's doing all he can to save you. But you must come his way. His way. And he just told you what it is. Just believe. Amen. Let's stand. Isn't he wonderful?
Amen.
I'm going to heaven, brother and sister. I want to go with every one of you. Look, folks, this church is too small to leave anyone behind. We can take everyone with us, can't we? Surely. God's idea is, yes, let's take them all. He's not saying, well, we're going to leave a couple behind because I don't love them. No, he brought you here for a reason. He brought you here for a reason this morning. His word doesn't return void. It's not in vain. It's not just, well, you got me. I almost can believe. But I'm afraid I'll be disappointed again. Well, you're going to hell the way you are. So what do you have to lose by believing what I just said? What you've done before hasn't worked. Why not just take him at his word this morning and say, you know what? I'm just going to simply take the promise that God spoke to me this morning. That he brought me here that I could receive life. And I'm going to take that promise and I'm going to live my life with that promise in the focus. And God, you either save me or I die. Either you save me, either you give me the new birth, or I'm going to die and go to hell. But I'm going to hell anyway, so what do I have to lose? You say, that's pretty brutal. I'm talking about life and death, brother and sister. How you want me to make it sugar-coated or something? This matters. This is important. It's beyond words how important. It's just believe. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful you would come and just in your simplicity reveal yourself. Lord, take this word and anchor it, Father, into people's heart. Every one of our hearts, Lord, anchor it that, Lord, our walk with you, Lord, would be completely in faith, letting you do the work, allowing you to save us, allowing you to deliver us, to heal us, letting go and letting you do what you would do. But we have to get out of the way and let you do it. This is all you've ever wanted. Just a bride who would trust you, that you could take care of her, you could provide for all her needs. Lord, I thank you so much for life, for opening our eyes, for letting us see, for letting us walk, for letting us know what pleases you. There's so many lies being preached. There's so many lies being lived. Lord, open a heart. Don't let anything stand. Let the clouds of doubt and thoughts and fears and all, let it just be pushed away. Let it be the light shine down and strike someone's heart. Teach us to give up our own junk, our own religions, and walk in faith. I believe you will, Lord. I ask this in your name. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood is shed for me. That's all it is. I have no idea what key it is. You can make one up. Just as I am, without shed for more time.
Just release yourself and let it go.
Thank you. Stand.